To you, it's just a game. For me, it's all I know. I make them remember my name before I have to go. Losing, I can't fathom. That's a champion's passion. Confidence never lacking. Drop the beat, let's attack them. They be checking for the content. You tired of that nonsense. No gimmicks, break limits. Quality is our promise. This is more than a show. This is a way of life. Cause the game, as it grows, takes us to higher heights. Check the stats before you check me. And don't tell me who the greatest if you don't know the history. Robert Ramon and Carl Close, the new big three, and if the opinions ain't from them, don't bring them to me, cause I go off like a rocket launcher. Man, I just ate the beat, I'm a real monster. I can hear the crowd chanting MVP, that's my mantra. Here's a standing O for the opinionated bench warmers.
See what you did there.
Welcome to the Opinionated Benchwarmers Podcast, episode 158. Your Opinionated Benchwarmers are back to do what we do best, and that's discuss sports. Got the whole team in here today. Fellas, how y'all feeling?
As always, here to rock the mic and do it. Wait, pause. Let's start up.
Do it to the mic. Pause. Let's start over. Right. Ramon, how you feeling?
No, bro. Start that up, bro.
Man, we keeping there, bro. When I had my moment, nah, bro. When I had my moment, I kept it. And I had two of them, bro. We keeping that.
Go ahead. Nah, no doubt. I might as well go in and jump straight in, too, man. I don't know how to really follow that one up. But bro, it's been an interesting day, interesting start to this podcast. We were already kind of podding before the pod. So I'm not going to hold it. I think we already kind of in the rhythm and the flow of things. We might as well get into it.
What an intro. Yo, man, appreciate all the love and support everybody's been showing us, man. Make sure that you subscribe to the podcast, O_Benchwarmers. No, that's actually following us on Twitter and Instagram. Subscribe to the podcast, Opinionated Benchwarmers, wherever you listen to your podcast. Big things coming up. Finally, your boys is official. Should I let them know? Or no, we should keep that to ourselves. All right, we'll keep it to ourselves. It's going to come. It's coming, though. It's coming. It's coming. But, hey, man, we back to do what we do, man. Here we are. NBA is get revving up. You know, we're getting down that down stretch, home stretch. We'll get into that. We touched on that last week. Some interesting things have happened since we last recorded, but we'd be doing an injustice if we didn't mention LeBron, another career milestone, 40,000 points, never been done. Obviously, he's the leading scorer in NBA history, but 40,000 points is an amazing feat. Yeah, I think it leans to his longevity. You know, no major injuries throughout his career, his commitment to the game, you know, and the competitor in him, definitely one of the greats to ever do it. 40K, man. Which y'all fellas thought against the Nuggets, man?
Man, I mean,
and a loss.
Right, and loss, yeah, at that point, right? So, I mean, I thought it was great. I mean, it's obviously he's in a conversation by himself. When you talk about 40K, you talk about a lot of stuff that he did. He's literally his career numbers is a triple-double. He has over 10,000 rebounds, over 10,000 assists, and now in the 40,000 range by himself. So, when you talk about that, it's just – and he's still playing at a high level, averaging 25 points, 7 rebounds, and 7 assists this year at 39 years old. It's just unheard of what he's doing. And he still doesn't not look like he's slowing down. You know, he's really developed his game as far as he's not doing as many dunks, but his shot this year, he has had some of the – his three-point is falling, you know. Remember the days back in the day when – we talked LeBron, the big game plan was just stop him from getting to the rim. Let him shoot. You know, the San Antonio really, that series really, that's what got him, right? And now he's a knockdown shooter. You know, if you look at his numbers, it's some of his best of his career. So, again, just hats off to LeBron, man. You know, and you guys know this, and we talked about it before. He is my GOAT, statistical GOAT, you know, and the things that he's doing and continue to do.
Yeah, I mean, I think you already, you know, kind of alluded to it as far as the way that, you know, he's doing something that we obviously have not seen. I think it's one of the most interesting pieces of it is the fact that a lot of times when people think about LeBron, you know, they think of his greatest asset being a passer. And so when you have a guy who probably his greatest asset is passing, But seeing what he's done from a scoring standpoint, to hit that mark, to be somebody that, you know, has been able to expand his game from a scoring standpoint, as you mentioned, Los, to kind of to broaden it, you know, to not just be one that just drives and gets to the rim. But you see more mid-range game from him. You see him being able to shoot the three ball, shooting at pretty much a 41% clip, which I think is a career high for him at this point. And so it's just crazy. Like you, I remember years ago that there was a tweet that went out, you know, when he turned 30, that we probably wouldn't be seeing this or experiencing this too much longer. And now, I mean, we look at pretty much a decade later from that tweet going out, and we still experiencing the same thing. So, I mean, hats off to him. You know, it's, you know, historical career. One of the guys that you can say that with the crazy hype that he had coming into the league, the crazy hype has actually exceeded that hype. And I think that that's crazy to think about.
Yeah, we mention that all the time. I did it, and I think we all agree. I mean, to exceed every expectation that was set out for you, it's a real testament to his commitment to the game and his love for the game and, his competitiveness. I don't think we, I don't think we even to this day we talk about the new breed of players that just not committed to greatness. And, LeBron, he has proven his greatness, and it's nothing I can say about the guy. I just hope that, I hope that he's set the marker for, young players coming through and just to mark his career. But one interesting point I did want to bring out of this, 40K. That's a lot of points. And when you look at the game today, and I'm looking at it, and LeBron's not slowing down, still averaging 25. I think LeBron's gonna give it at least 2 or 3 more years. Of course, he's year to year right now with his age, but will we see this again? And if we do, if we all collectively agree that we won't see it again in our lifetime, who would you bet on as a young player coming up to do this out of the young crop of players coming up to meet 40,000 points?
I don't, one, I'll say I don't think this is going to be done again, right? Because of the commitment that we've heard before, with how much LeBron puts into his body in the offseason, right? Over $1 million, I think, was the number out there. It's probably up with inflation. Who knows? But when you think about that, I don't think that you're going to have a player that's going to be averaging 25, 7, and 7 at 39. Turn 40 this year. You know, like you won't, I don't think you're going to get that number, right? Because as you've seen before, even the great Kobe, we know how hard this guy works all the way to the end. He, I think, averaged 18 or something like that his last year. Like that's hard to do what is being done. Father time, right? Is one of those things we just can't predict. But if I had to put somebody in that conversation to come close to those numbers, I would say Luka, just on a standpoint of how much he's scoring. How much he dominates the ball. If that continues for 20 years, I would say he could come close to those numbers, right? But again, it's the longevity. Is he going to keep up with his body? I know a lot of people talk about Luka. He looks out of shape and all these different things. What happens when he becomes a 30-year-old man, and can he still do it, and that's really the question.
Yeah, to kind of get to the first part, Los kind of took my guy that I was going to say. I was going to really agree and say Luka is maybe the one that I would see. Another name to throw out there, I just don't know about the longevity of this guy just from his build. But I mean, we've seen Victor get off to a heck of a start, averaging already 20 points per game. So my thing is, can the longevity be there for a guy that's built the way that he's built? I'm not sure exactly about that, but if we talk about young guys that could potentially get to that space, Luka being one, he would probably be somebody that I would have two on that list. But to answer your first question, the first part of it, I don't think that we'll see it be touched, because as you mentioned, we sit here right now, and you just saying that, you know, it might be 2 to 3 more years of Bron, and we don't know if that's even when the time
Right.
is like.
I think I said 2 years ago, 2 years ago.
Right, exactly. So it's like we're gonna only see that number continue to grow, to expand and go further, to where I don't really think that anybody will ever touch it. Because you got to think about the simple fact that people thought that like Kareem's would never be touched, and that was an astronomical number that seemed unreachable. And so now somebody has not only gone past Kareem's number, but is about to put a gap between one and two. So that's going to be tough to reach.
Yeah, at one point I thought KD would have done it, but then I kind of started doing the math and I'm like, nah, he's not gonna catch him as long as LeBron is still playing. But I agree with both of you guys. Like Lo said, my number one guy I thought was Luka when I looked through the numbers. He's 25 years old. But then again, the key to this record is, can you stay healthy? How many years can you play? And I don't see anybody, but the key of it overall is who cares? Which player cares? I don't think any of these young cats care. And when if you eliminate this ghost called Michael Jordan, and who all the greats chase, including Kobe and anybody that came after him, LeBron is chasing MJ. He knows he's a basketball savant. He knows the game. He's a student of the game, and he knows who's great, who's chasing greatness. I don't even see the mentality in anybody young coming up that could touch it. Now, I will say this honorary name, but again, durability is Anthony Edwards, maybe. But I just like his buildup and I like his mentality. But other than that, I agree with you guys. I don't see it being touched. So salute to Kobe. Salute to the Lakers. Big win against coming off of the beating the Thunder last night. Number one seed in the NBA. Does this guy do this change your mind? Because the last episode we kind of listen back, we kind of was a little disappointed in our team. We kind of beat them up a little bit, but does this change your mind about how you feel about the Lakers? And can they finally turn around? Will this be the game where we can go back to and say, this is when the Lakers really turned this season around and really make a run?
I
When I say run,
safely
just make it to the
to
conference
playoffs.
finals. Yeah.
Right. I mean, safely, I can't trust it, right? Because there's been so many games where we've seen this team pop and they're like, wow, we got a chance. We could be special, right? Then there's other times where, again, we record this on a Tuesday. The Lakers play a pivotal game tomorrow against Sacramento, right? Who's above them a game and a half. That we are sounding like fools coming back this week and saying, oh yeah, the Lakers have been killing it. And by the time this episode drop, the Lakers get smacked by Sacramento. So honestly, I cannot trust the Lakers until I see consistently them, and they have been winning consistently, I would say, better as of the last 2 weeks, right? There was a disappointing loss against the Nuggets over last week or so, but when you look at that game, they were pretty dominant in that game. And of course, like the last few games, give it up in the last 5 minutes. They just cannot close out the Nuggets. So when I look at the Lakers as a whole, it's just concern. They have a chance. They have the talent there. They have everything, all the pieces. But again, it just comes to those in-game adjustments that I continue to see not happen. So I can't trust them.
Yeah, I mean, I echo a similar sentiment that, it's just one of those things where we see the peaks and we see the valleys of this team. And so, do I think that any given night or any given series that they can win, they can get it done? Yes. Do I think that any given night, any given series, they can lose? Yes. Kind of the same thing. And so, I think that ultimately, this team for me, though, goes as far as or will play as well as D'Angelo Russell plays. I think that this team is a different team when they have that true third option and a guy like D'Lo that gets going, which obviously we saw him get going in last night's game that y'all talking about. But also too, it's going to come down to health, just as any other things. Like you still have to get a guy in Vando back to come and be that perimeter defender and add to that wing depth. So it's one of those things that I still kind of sit in the same spot that, hey, they can beat anybody, they could lose to anybody. I still stand firm that I feel that they will win a first round matchup because I think that ultimately they'll end up to me seeing a team like Minnesota or a team like the Thunder that they just saw. And I still can't trust either of those teams in the playoffs. But it's just still tough for me to see them breaking through and ultimately making a finals run or something like that. But hey, I hope they prove me wrong.
Yeah, I agree with you guys. I can't trust them yet. I'm not getting my hopes up, but I will stay up late at night and watch the game tomorrow night. It's a huge game. I think any game going forward is we have to win it, and you know, we can't afford too many more losses, especially when you have an opportunity to get out of having to play in a play-in game, which you mentioned. LeBron is 39 years old. This man is not getting any younger. So the more rest we can give him, the less ball he can play going into the playoffs, the better. But I did want to talk about how the Celtics smacked the Warriors. How is the Celtics, you know, 140-88 on Sunday? I think they were up by, what, 40-something points at halftime, the most in NBA history, or at least Celtics history. Man, I want to pose the question. I know it hurts us. They are a rival. But I think – do you guys share the sentiment that you've gotten a sense that this team has flown under the radar of how good they actually are? We wondered that when they brought on Porzingis. Of course, they're with their 48-12 through 60 games. I think this is like only the fourth team in NBA history to have this record in 60 games. Now, mind you, Atlanta is on this list. So Atlanta, I think, did it like a year or two ago. So we already know how that turned out. but needless to say, I mean, 48-12, you know, Phil Jackson always had the 40-20 rule, huh? Right? How many games can you win? Can you win 40 games before you lose 20? And they are well below 20 losses. It seems like they've flown under the radar, you know, in the East. I think that, you know, people have overlooked them or looking, but I think that this team is really, really good. And, you know, between Tatum and Brown, I think Tatum has taken his playmaking ability. I think that, you know, my concern with them is when they brought in Holiday, would he be able to take a seat back? Because his usage obviously would be down compared to when he was with the Bucks. But, you know, he's sacrificed that, and they are playing really, really well. I think Porzingis is finally playing his role that he needs to play. He's not a number two. He's your number three. And I think he's comfortable with that, and he's playing well. So this Celtics team, after smacking the Golden State Warriors in that way, in that fashion, in a league where I said the young boys don't care about being competitive, they want to be everybody's friend, the way that they smacked the Warriors, I think that, you know, it's worth talking about.
Yeah, I mean, this team, we talked about it a couple weeks ago, it has no weaknesses right now. And it's scary good. I hate to say that as a Lakers fan. It's just 1-5. They're just being disrespected. Like you said, like, they're not being talked about a lot, but they've been good all season, right? They've been consistent all season. And they're not being talked about a lot right now. And their coach that stepped in, I can't think of his name right now, but he's doing a really
good job. Yo, Mazzulla.
Yes. He's doing a good job to replace, to step up in that place, right? We all know what kind of happened with the previous coach, and he's killing it, man. And just the offseason moves, too, when you bring in a Porzingis, like you said, and you bring in a Jrue Holiday, and when you really got rid of your defensive player of the year and Marcus Smart, everyone was kind of, whoa, why'd you do this? But when you had Derek White and was able to pull off that move to get him, you pretty much got the same type of player. I'm not saying they are the same player, but you got that defensive-minded player that makes Marcus Smart expendable, where you can get rid of him and bring in the Porzingis, you can bring in the Jrue Holiday, and they just all just tough, man. Like, I know the Lakers waxed them without AD and without Bron, but that was just a good game. The Lakers was just on fire that game, but this team is just tough, man.
Yeah. I'm glad you mentioned that, though. The listeners got to kind of hear that did actually happen. We got to let them know that. But in getting into talking about the Celtics, you know, as y'all mentioned, I mean, I think that this is the thing for me, for this team at this point, is that there's no more excuses for this team. You know, if they don't get it done, it's really got to now really show up, you know, as marks potentially on their legacies at this point. When I talk about even some of the top guys on their team and Jason Tatum and a Jaylen Brown, because there's no excuse. Like, they are the most talented team in the league. As you talk about the 48-12 record, you look at the fact, too, that they are the first team in NBA history to have 3 50-point wins in a season. The first team in league history to have 3 50-point wins. So, I mean, they've just been elite throughout the course of the season. I think that correct me if I'm wrong, but I think they're on like a 10-game win streak right now. And so they are the most complete team. It really scares me at this point, because I don't want to see them get another championship and one up us at the Lakers. But they look tough right now, man. They look very tough. don't look like they really have any major weakness. And like I said, no excuses for him anymore.
All right. So right now, the Celtics looking like the favorite to take the title.
I don't know how you can go against them. I mean, anything can happen in the playoffs, but right now, just looking at that roster, I would say they're a favorite.
Yes, better favorite.
I'm still rolling with the Nuggets. The Nuggets are just Jokic, the way he's playing, the way he commands the team, the way that every time down the floor they're getting a good shot. The Nuggets are going to be tough to handle. The Nuggets are still my favorite to win the title, but I do think that I think they're my favorite to make it to the conference finals right now. I'm sorry, the NBA finals, obviously the Celtics and the Nuggets. I think that might be the finals that we're looking at. But yeah, just shifting gears here. As we wrap up, we touched on a little NBA, but how could we not talk about the combine? We had a special record broken. These guys are getting favored faster than Xavier Worthy, running a 4.2. But I mean, what did you guys think of overall landscape? And then we probably could break down just, some positions if y'all like.
Yeah, man, I think it was exciting, right? I mean, I didn't think the record is gonna be touched, right? Before 2-2, that was John Ross' record that he held. And before that, it was, I think, Chris Johnson who held it for a little bit. So these guys are getting fast, man. But again, I don't, as my team, the Los Angeles Rams, I don't take too much stock into the combine and the 40 times, right? Because again, so many times teams get hooked into that, and as we've seen, they fall in love with the speed, but that doesn't necessarily translate to football speed, right? And you look at some of our best players and Cooper Kupp, Puka, these guys have ran 4.6. Those are just examples. It's impressive. I'm not saying it's not, but it's saying at the same time, I wouldn't get locked into necessarily the combine numbers as far as now. If the production is there, their college production is there, and on top of the combine numbers, then you'd be talking to a different discussion.
To get to it, like you were saying, man, some of the ones that kind of stuck out to me, I guess initially is looking at the edge rusher position. And I would say to me, two guys that stuck out that, I mean, we already kind of know that these are top 10, top 15 guys. But Jared Verse and Dallas Turner to me had two really good showings. I think that Jared Verse showed that he is an elite edge rusher. I think he ran like a 4.58, really solid 40 form, showed up well. And kind of the strength challenges and things of that sort as well, too, to me to potentially plan him definitely, in that top 10. And I think that Dallas Turner with him running a 4.46, I think was really impressive.
Ridiculous,
Really stuck
ridiculous.
out. And I don't know too if y'all heard the interview that Jaden Daniels had, but when they asked him the question of the player that, has stuck out the most to him or the best that he played against this season. He had to give the nod to Dallas Turner, who was also the one who knocked him out of that game as well, too. But those are two quick guys to me that I thought that stood out and kind of really firmly planted their flag probably in that top 10.
Yeah, man, I think that they were some very impressive players. But I think overall, what I gained from it, I didn't get in the weeds of things, but just how fast these edge rushers are getting, and just how fast these even defensive linemen are getting. And I just said to myself, I thought that it was a really, really, and correct me if I'm wrong, a really weak running back showing. I was not really blown away by the running back class in the combine. You saw a lot of 4.6s, you saw a lot of 4.5s. And I just feel like when you're looking at, when you're saying Ramon, Dallas Turner is running a 4.4 himself, I'm like, man, if you don't have any elite speed, you're not. But one guy that stood out to me that kind of underwhelmed me, I'll flip the side of that, is Blake Corum. I thought that he was a little disappointing to me. I know what he's able to do on the field. He put up numbers at Michigan. But at the same time, I think that I thought he was running a faster 40 than that. And he's standing at 5'7", so he's gonna need some speed. But I think he confirmed to me that he's not an every down back. And I know that they're probably hoping that they got a guy like with the Chargers,
You
drawing a
talking
blank.
about Eckler?
Yeah, they think they got an Eckler, but I don't think that he's gonna beat it. I think at best he might be a situational back. But we'll see. But I thought that he really, to me, I feel like his stock, our value may have went down. I don't know. Do you guys agree with that or not?
Yeah, definitely at 5'7", 200 something pounds, 200, around 200 pounds at that size, I can see how that takes a hit. And it, again, you seeing in the league, right, where a lot of these smaller running backs are getting chances, right? And I think in the right situation, I think because of his production, he will get a chance and he may be okay.
Yeah,
But
like a
again, that
Clyde.
right, like a Clyde, even like I that's I come back to it, but
You
I've drawn a
gonna let
blank
us
on
help you out, bro?
right. He ain't give us nothing to work with. How
I'm
we supposed?
mad because it's the Rams running back.
Oh,
Are you talking about
dang, he saved my
Kern? When you
fantasy
talking about
season.
Kyron
Current
Williams?
one. Current Williams, my
Hell
God. He
yeah.
would not come to me. But yes, Current Williams, his 40 time was a 4.65, right? And you look at him, he's a smaller guy as well. But again, if you got the right type of vision, you got the right type of situation, and the right type of offense, right? You can make it work, right? And so that's kind of how I look at that. It's like sometimes they run slow, but sometimes they make the right moves at the right time. So who knows?
Man, Karen look a little faster than 4.6, man. He must have been tripping that day. But I agree. But a standout for me, and I think you all go guys know I'm going. Fellow LSU Tiger, Brian Thomas. I didn't know he had wheels like that. I might have been tripping. I don't know. I watched every LSU game and I watched his whole career. I didn't know that he was burning like that. But now it explains why he was able to get the separation he did. So maybe I should have known, but a 4.3, that's amazing.
Yeah, at 6'4", you gotta say it, at 6'4", right?
Yes.
205 pounds.
That's
And
ridiculous.
so you looking at production, this guy had more touchdowns than Neighbors, who was a finalist for the top wide receiver award in college. So
Yeah.
when you look at this alone, the guy has production. Now he showed up to the combine and put on a show at that size. I mean, you gotta start talking about this guy as a top 12 pick. I don't know why
Yeah.
he's not in that conversation with
I
the
hope he
top
fall
pick
to
now.
my Saints.
I don't know why. Like, I really don't know
You don't know
why.
why he'll fall to my Saints?
No, I'm hoping he does not go there.
Just
He does
completely
not need to
ignored
go there.
that one
I don't
right
know
there.
why he's
Like,
not talked about in that
yeah,
top
I don't
six,
know.
top seven
I
pick.
hope people keep still sleeping on him because what he did in the combine, bro, like you say, man, he gotta be top.
Yeah. Like literally put up historic numbers. Like they have, one of these metrics that of course helps you, just kind of assess overall combine basically results. They refer to as RAS or whatever. They say that he scored a 9.97 out of 10, which ranks him 10th out of 3,063 wide receivers from 1987 to 2024. So this is within a whatever, however many years that is, that's what I guess 37 years off the top of my head, he's had a top 10 wide receiver performance at the NFL Combine. Like that is insane to see a guy his size to be running a 4.33, and then also to him with the 38.5 like vertical leap. One thing I will say is over his time at LSU, it was something that was known. Like when they would ask who is the best athlete on the team, people would routinely say that Brian Thomas is the guy. And I know that we know about, Perk and all those guys and Malik. People would routinely say that the best athlete on that team was Brian Thomas.
Yeah, it really showed. And now he'll I imagine he'll go to the pro day and Jaden to get his get Jaden gonna put on the show and he's gonna have his quarterback throwing him some bombs. I think Brian's gonna rise in the rankings. If he already has, but like I'm talking about like up there, you know what I'm saying? But we'll see what happens. Okay.
Now, I guess in asking that and just kind of thinking too, you talk about rising in the rankings, and I know that big time position that we got out there obviously is the wide receiver position. That's where now, y'all introducing him into some interesting debates there. So, I'm kind of intrigued to hear like where does he fit in? I guess maybe if we look at the top five wide receivers right now in this NFL draft, like who would y'all potentially have as those top five guys? And I'm talking about
Who?
in order. Don't give me this my top five guys in any order. No, I want to hear specific orders.
Oh, I'm gonna defer to Los on this. I'm gonna let him kick this thing off.
Top five receivers.
Yeah, top Top
I'm
five in the
gonna
draft.
go. I'm gonna go with me. I'm gonna go Malik Nabers, Marvin
Ooh.
Harrison. I'm gonna go Aduzie. I'm gonna go Brian Thomas. And then I'm gonna go.
It's interesting at
So
five.
this fifth one, it can be. It's gonna be the flavor, right? And when I say when I. So let me start over. I'm gonna go with Marvin Harrison. I'm gonna go with Malik Nabers.
Oh, no, don't take away the hot take,
Oh,
man.
you're
Don't
gonna start
take
over.
back the hot take.
Wait. Are we going off of? I know. We got. Are we going off of the order we think we got a draft,
No, we going
or do
off
you
of
think of our
your order,
guys?
your guys. I don't care what order they getting drafted,
Okay.
your guys.
Respect. My guys. That's easy then. So I'm gonna go Malik Nabers. I'm gonna go Marvin Harrison. Aduzie, Brian Thomas, then from there I gotta go Adonai Mitchell.
Okay.
I think at his size and that running that 4-3, I mean, that's crazy.
Yep.
Man, that's tough to beat, man. Los, that was a tough job. I think I'm gonna go. I like Michael Harrison, bro. I love him. I've been liking him for about a couple years now.
Michael?
Oh, I'm sorry. God, dog it. Marvin Harrison
You must not
Jr.
like him enough, huh?
Nobody knows him more than my man Ramon because he's a dedicated Colts fan and been a Colts fan for years. But like Ramon, I've watched his father and what his father's done, and it looks like his son has taken a page and has taken it further. Look like his dad handed him the baton. And he's gone further. The intangibles, the route running, the athleticism, the speed, it's off the charts. He didn't test in the combine. He didn't need to. Now, behind him, obviously, I got Malik Nabers. Productions wise, Malik Nabers had a better season than Marvin Harrison statistically. But when you look at Malik Nabers, and I've watched him closely, and it doesn't date back to this year. And Carlos can add on to this. There's a guy named Keyshawn Booty that you may not even hear of anymore. That was the favorite to win that was on the list to win receiver of the year that year. I'll let Ramon go through the history because he's better at this than I am. But what I will say is that I wondered why Malik Nabers was getting so many targets that year. And I was like, man, why don't Jaden throw it to Keyshawn more? And this year he showed me why, because this man is open every play. His route running, his pass catching, his athleticism as well as Marvin Harrison. But what separates him is that he's a little undersized. But what he reminds me of, don't kill me, guys. He reminds me of Antonio Brown. A young Antonio Brown, you heard it here first. I think that his talent, his speed, his explosiveness, his separation that he's able to get, he's a future star in the NFL. He's a prototypical of what we've seen in the past with a Justin Jefferson, with a Ja'Marr Chase. I think that he has that skill set. Oh, I'm rambling off. All right, that's my number two. Number three, of course, I got I ain't gonna try to pronounce his name, Rome.
Rome Odunze, man.
Yeah, I think production-wise and what he was able to do with Penix, who's a sleeper for me as a good quarterback coming into this draft, who I think he'll rise once. But Rome, he had a great year with Penix, and I got him at number three. And then Brian Thomas, after running a 4-3 at 6-4, come on, stop it. I think that any NFL team can't go wrong with that top four. And I'm not mad at the order that you have that top four, but to me, that is the top four. And then top five here. I don't know why I like Keon Coleman. And I know he didn't show his best in the combine. He ran a 4-6 in the 40, which we look at. But again, he's a big receiver. I like what he did coming out of college. And I think that he's another good receiver that's in my top five. But again, a very, very talented class. And I think that you'll be able to get some teams will be able to get some steals late, as always.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think that we all have pretty similar top fives. I would say number one for me, I really go back and forth. I'm gonna answer it right now. My answer may be different a week later. My answer may be different after that
Check
when the
him
draft
out,
actually
man.
comes.
Check him
But I'm
out.
gonna go ahead and honestly, I'm gonna say Marvin Harrison Jr. will be my number one wide receiver. Just slightly above Malik Nabers. And it pains me to say that. But really, the only reason is I think that just if you look at the measurables, you look at 6'4", the way his route running being elite, I think that, you know, he possesses similar things to Malik, but, you know, just from just a prototypical size, I think that's the only separator right there. So I would go Marv at one. It is pretty much one and 1A for me, but I'm gonna go Malik at number two. And then number three, for everything y'all have already echoed, number three for me will actually be Brian Thomas Jr. I think that, man, the show that he put on, to see how he was routinely able to be a deep ball threat for Jaden Daniels throughout the course of the year, I think that he is a, you know, ridiculous athlete, as we talked about already, a top 10 performance within the last 37 years of the NFL Combine. Like, that's ridiculous to even think about. And I think that he's a guy too that's still like scratching the surface of his potential. Like, I don't think that we've seen obviously the best of Brian Thomas Jr. yet. So that's why I have him as my number three guy. And then when I look at number four, I have Rome Odunze, from what y'all already talked about, the showing that he had at Washington in this year, being Michael Penix Jr.'s number one weapon. And then I also I you sound to pretty be pretty hesitant about it, or kind of doubted it a bit, but Keon Coleman is now my number five guy as well too. You know, I look at what he was able to do at FSU. I know he had some games that he had to sit out, some injuries that he had throughout the course of the year. But when he was on the field, he was ultra productive. You know, he was the number one target out there. When they had another guy out there, Johnny Wilson, who was a solid wide receiver in his own right. Keon Coleman is one of those other prototypical guys, 6'4", 215, that he's a dangerous weapon. And honestly, LSU saw some of the worst of that to open the season this past year. And that game has never left my mind
Oh my
from that
God.
opening game showing that he put on. So he's my number five receiver.
I love it. I love it. I think we're all on the same page there. And then for dynasty purposes, from what I heard, Ramon is targeting Brian Thomas in our upcoming dynasty draft. So you got to keep an eye out on him. If you want him, you need to
You
trade
won't
up
have a
for him.
chance. I know I won't have a chance. I could
You
target them
won't be
all
able
I
to sniff.
want.
You
Right.
won't even sniff him.
Right.
But I know who will on this podcast.
Who? You?
Me.
Oh,
I
well,
got the
yeah.
fourth pick.
You got the fourth pick?
There you
Yeah.
go.
Oh, well, yeah.
There you go.
You looking at a guy like that because Marvin
Unless you go to
Harrison
the
Jr.
Colts.
Yeah.
Do I want to trade up for him?
Nah, I ain't giving up. I mean, y'all can talk trades, but I ain't giving up a lot for him.
Man, Carlos, you was just in my DMs the other day talking about something you want to trade for my first pick.
Wasn't for him. It was trying to move up. It wasn't for him.
Who was it
Yeah.
for?
Bro, I ain't telling you, bro.
Why, bro?
I cannot tell you
It
this.
ain't nothing I
Bro,
could
come on.
do.
We
We supposed to be boys, bro. Come on. We do a
nah.
podcast
Bro,
together and
there's a
everything.
reason I keep getting these steals at the back of the draft, bro. I cannot give up
Dang,
the
bro. You
goods
can't
like
even
this.
trust. I stole
You know why
Tank
I
Dell. I
messed
stole
up
Tank
last
Dell
year?
from you last year,
You
though.
did. You absolutely did. I did not think anybody was on him. But you know why I messed up last year that messed me up in our league? I was thinking about this. When I got too high on Raheem Mostert in our draft, and Ramon took him a pick before, and I was getting him in every late draft, and Raheem Mostert led the league in touchdowns last year, and that killed me because I was struggling making trades, trying to find a running back, and forever playing catch up, bro. I should have never spoke about Raheem Mostert on this podcast, bro. I'm sick.
Well, man, I hope you feel better. But
Right,
anyway,
you had
man.
to finally get that off your chest, huh?
Yeah,
You
I
feel
stay up
better
late
over
thinking about
there.
that, man.
That
I
ain't had
stay
nothing
up
to do
late
with
thinking
this.
about
Hey, that
that.
had nothing to do with this, but I just thought that I should mention.
Right.
But anyway, man, I think we did it again, man. We're wrapping up another pod. Hey, man, we appreciate you for hanging around and listening to us. We hope that you enjoy what you listen to. Again, if you listen to this and you enjoy this, make sure you're sharing this with a friend. Make sure that you're subscribed to the podcast. That's how you know when we're dropping the pod. And other things. Make sure you follow us on Instagram and Twitter, O underscore Benchwarmers. We're going to get that thing back rolling, but you want to be following us so you can get the content, right? So we appreciate you for rocking with us. And until next time, we out of here.
Later.